Okay, hello everyone. So again, the shiur is sponsored by Gitti and Ari and Mel, and in gratitude to Hashem for all the blessings and the strength and faith to deal with life's challenges. And also would like to wish them Mazal Tov. Their daughter, granddaughter Yael, is getting married Bezrat Hashem next week. So should be Mazal Tov and Beshaa Tova. Okay, so today, wow, is that too loud?
Yes.
Is that better? Okay, is that good?
It's good for the people outside.
Right, yeah. There is a sugya like that, you know, if you blow the shofar and someone hears from the outside, did he fulfill his obligation? Okay, so because we are obviously in the Chodesh of Tshuva, in the month of Tshuva and repentance, so I decided we will do maybe one or two shiurim on Tshuva. And what I would like to do today is really to try to understand a bit, what does it mean to do tshuva? Now, I'm not talking about the recognition of the sin and the accepting for the future and regret. I would like to understand a bit the process of tshuva and what is, I will say, the divine expectation that God has from us. And in order to do so, there is a very interesting haftarah that we read, and we read it many times, especially during obviously Asrat Yemei Teshuvah, but also sometimes we read it in other times. And there is an interesting concept that we need to try to understand, which is, if you look at the first, so what we will try to do is to understand the Hebrew request in the Tanakh, the biblical request, and to try to understand the connotation and the different meanings of it. So that's what we're going to do. So if you look at the first source, it's from Yeshayahu. And Yeshayahu in chapter Nunhei 55, verses Vav Zayin Chet said the following. Dirshu Hashem b'imatz'o, k'ra'u b'yoto karov. יעזוב רשע דרכו וישאף אל מחשבותיו, ישוב אל השם וירחמיו, ואל אלוקינו כי הרבה לסלוח, כי לא מחשבותיי מחשבותיכם, ולא דרככם דרכי, נאום השם. We read this after a when? Every time we have תענית ציבור, a fast day. Okay. But it said, דרשו השם בהימצאו. What is דרשו? So if you look at the English translations, probably you will have request, or seek, S-E-E-K. But we will see that we will have seven different interpretations. That's a new one, I think. Seven different interpretations to the idea of dirshu. What does it mean? And how it affects the tshuva. So that's what we are going to do today. So, if you look at the Targum, it says, Kol dmama daka. Hashem said, "Lo beruach, velo berash, velo be'esh." When Hashem revealed Himself to Eliyahu, He says, "Not in the wind, not in the fire, not in the thunder." Kol dmama daka, in a very quiet voice. Okay. So, Targum Yonatan ben Uziel, was according to many, was one of the earliest Tanaim. He was one of the great sages, and he translated the Torah into Aramaic, and he translated Dirshu. Tvau dachalta de Hashem ad de atun chaim, beo min kadmoi ad de atun kayamin. What does that mean? What is tvau? Taf bet ein vav. Now that's Aramaic, it's not Hebrew. So I will say that you can understand it in two ways. One is the most simple way, which I will mention but move on. And then the one that is a little bit more complicated, but I think much more meaningful. The first idea is litboa. What is litboa? To sue, to request. Ani tovea et zchuyotai. I request my rights. So in a way, when you say dirshu Hashem be'imatz'o, is request God when He's there. And then what? Kra'u. What is kra'u? Kra'u is call Him out when He is obviously next to you. Much better than trying to what? To do a long distance call. It's much better when it's just like a close by. That's one understanding, but there is something much more meaningful. In Gemara in Baba Kama, The first Mishnah in Baba Kama said that there are arba'a avot nezikin. There are four different types of damages, which under them you have sub damages. But the Mishnah said, arba'a avot nezikim, ashor, habor, amav'e, ve'a'ev'er. Which are what? There are four different types of categories of damages. Shor, what is a shor? An axe. By the way, with the shor, also the Gemara tried to describe, are we talking about the horn? Are we talking about the teeth? Are we talking about the leg? Which each one of them characterize a different type of damage. So that's the shor. Bor is a pit, if someone dug a pit in the middle of the public domain. And then mav'e. What is mav'e? Ev'er is esh, fire. But what is mav'e? Mem bet ayin hei. So this is a famous machloket between Rav and Shmuel. Rav and Shmuel were two Amoraim. Rav was really the earliest Amora. Sometimes he has a status of a Tana. And Shmuel was the generation after, but they saw each other and they had many conversations, at least according to the Talmud. And the machloket is, what is the interpretation of mav'e? According to Shmuel, it's shen, teeth, of the tooth of the, of what do you call him, of the axe. Which means, when the axe goes ahead and go into my garden, and eats all my vegetables, and he has enjoyment out of it, that will be mav'e. Rav said, no. Mav'e ze adam. It's a person. Because a person is also a type of a damager. And to the extent that the Talmud said, Adam mu'ad le'olam ben er ben yashen. A person is always mu'ad to cause a damage. We always suspect that he's going to cause a damage, even if he's asleep. The only time that we, humankind, will be exempt from payments if we cause a damage is if we go to bed and we check that there is nothing there and we fell asleep. Then someone put, I don't know, a glass next to me not knowing I'm still asleep, and then I turn and I break the glass. That's the only time I will be what? I will be exempt from payment. Now, Rav and Shmuel, in order to substantiate their interpretation of mav'eh, each one of them tried to bring a pasuk that proves their point. Shmuel brings his own, and Rav also brings a very interesting pasuk, which it says, "Im teva'ayun ba'ayu." I'm talking to you not in English, not in Hebrew, it's Aramaic, which is what? "Im teva'ayun ba'ayu." It is, if you would like to pray, pray. So the word bet, ayin, yud, vav, ba'ayu, or tav'u, will be what? To pray. Everyone is with me? Okay. So if that's true, there is something very interesting here. What is dirshu, according to the Targum, according to Yonatan? Pray. That will be the second interpretation. We can say request, or we can say pray. So now I want to ask you a question. What does it mean, pray to God when He is there? That's tshuva. Tshuva is a prayer. Okay, to express it. Okay. I will be tough today. And I will say that tshuva and tefillah are totally two different things. Why? Because tshuva basically helps you to what? To move backwards, to move forward. You can go into the past, you can go into the future. Tefillah is very structured in time. Shachrit, mincha, arvit. Shachrit you have from sunrise until whatever, and then you have mincha and maariv, so everything is very structured. What is the common denominator between tefillah and tshuva? Talking. Okay. Making a connection, so we had it. I don't want to be so tough. So I will try to help. What is the process of tefillah?
Thinking about
In order for davening to be meaningful, what do you need to have? Kavana. How do we originate the kavana? How do we create kavana?
You have to be in your own zone.
Zone, okay.
You have to really knock everything
out. Set aside a place to focus everything. I will rephrase the question because that's not the way I want to go. So it is a way, but it's not my way to go now.
Okay.
Introspection. Thank you, Susie. In order to fully have kavana, for example, in atachonen la'adam da'at, that God, you give me wisdom, you need to be honest with yourself. You need to look at yourself and say, look, I thought I'm so smart. You know what? I am really not. Or I can be smarter. I can be wiser. Which means you realize that what? That you have deficiencies. That you are still not this perfect person that you like to be. Or that you think you are. If you think you are really in deep troubles. If you want to be, that may be an aspiration. But the idea is tefillah requires what? Requires us to be fully honest with ourselves. If you say, Slach lanu avinu ki chatanu, and you don't think that you did anything wrong, God bless you. One of two things, you are dead, or you are so arrogant that there is no words to describe it. So the idea is that in order to really have kavana, is not only to set aside and to be in the zone and everything that you said that was right, but is more than that. You can be in the zone and you can set a place, but if you don't want to admit that you are not perfect and that you need God, there is nothing you can do about it. A. B. There is something else in davening. When you daven, you have what? If you look at the language of Shmona Esrei, which is the main thing for tefillah, is plural. It's not singular, it's plural. Why? Because we have everyone else in mind. The day of tshuva, which is Yom Kippur, what is the first sentence we say before Kol Nidrei? Anu matirim lehitpalel im avaryanim. We allow the criminals, the people who really commit transgressions with passion, okay? We allow them to come because we understand that there is what we call tshuva pratit, a private tshuva, but there is also the public and the communal one, the same thing like in davening. That's B. Third, we also understand tshuva and tefillah is that without Hashem's help, we will not be able to complete and to accomplish our mission. We know it with tefillah for sure, but also with tshuva. Look at tshuva. It's really something that it's incredible. Every year that I speak about tshuva, I'm always get like re-amazed. How many times would you forgive someone that did the same thing against you over and over? Maybe he had a variety of things, but basically the common denominator is that he drove you crazy. How many times would you forgive him or her?
It's like only once, my fault, twice.
Right. So, that's true. So, we'll give him once, twice. You know what? Your children. Okay. I don't know if unlimited, but you know what? Plenty. But there is going to be a time that you will say what? Just azovati. Like, leave me alone. And then, God really said it. After the golden calf, Hashem said to Moshe what? Ve'ata hanichali v'achalem. Leave me alone and I will annihilate them. But it's interesting. The Talmud says, when Hashem said to Moshe, now, let me go and I will annihilate them, that he basically invited Moshe to do what? To pray. To pray. Because if I will tell you, leave me alone and you don't touch me, you will look at me like, what are you talking about, right? Who do you say, leave me alone, when someone grabs your shirt and says, hey, I'm not letting you go? And that's what the Gemara says, melamed kivyachol, shemoshe achaz besimlato shel Hashem, whatever, that Hashem, Moshe like, was holding on to Hashem, and Hashem told him, leave me alone. Hashem was inviting him to pray. This is the core of tshuva. I'll just complete that sentence, I'm sorry. Hashem, we say it in davening. עד יום מותו אחכה לו, אם אשוב, אם ישוב, מיד אקבלו. I will wait for him until the day of his, the last day of his life. If he will repent, he or she will repent, I will accept him immediately. Really? And I don't want to elaborate on it now. I have a class about it. Maybe I'll give it one day, but we don't need the class. It's a simple Gemara. I mean, Yom Kippur lo mechaper al mitzvot shebein adam lechavero ad sheifaseno. That's what the Gemara in Yoma said. Yom Kippur can atone for the sins between me and God, but not between me and my friends, and my family, my friends, and them to me. Which means what? Yes, he drove you crazy. Yes, he always bothers you. But still, you need to find a way to forgive him or to alleviate the tension somehow. Which is tough. Just, I think you should just build another shul. But the thing is the idea is, according to the Targum, is the tshuva is very similar to what? To tefillah. So it requires honesty, kavana, retrospection, understanding of the plural aspect of tshuva, and to always know that God is waiting for us to do it. By the way, I will say that it is one of the things that really are unbelievable. Is that sometimes we don't believe in ourselves, but God believes in us. Which is amazing when you really, really think about it. Part of the issues that we have obviously in our society is that people don't feel that someone believes in them. And they definitely, it's very hard for them to believe in themselves. But you tell them, Hashem really believes in you. How do we know? You're still alive. You're still around. You have a goal. You will not just stay around for nothing. You have something to do here. So I think it really brings it home, according to Yonatan, Targum Yonatan ben Uziel, that tshuva is very much like tefillah, and we need to have the same, not exactly the same, but very similar method that we should have in tefillah. We should have what? In tshuva. So that's the Targum. If you need the text. So basically it's like that. After the galut and everything, the sages of the Great Assembly created for us a text. And we can change the text. But at the same time, you can always talk to God whenever you want. Is that considered as the one of the tefillot that you are required? The answer would be no. There are certain requirements, the Shema, the Shmona Esrei, and things like that. But you can always talk from your heart. Tefillah, I gave a class about tefillah last week. In terms of the etymological meaning of tefillah, what does it mean? What's the shoresh? What's the root? And what does it mean? And what do you daven for and what you don't daven for? So you do have some kind of a structure, but it didn't take away totally the avodah shebalev, the service of the heart. Okay. Now take a look at the Malbim. The Malbim said, Dirshu, that's the third source on page one, Dirshu, Ratza lomar, אבל הישועה בכללה תלוי בתשובה ומעשים טובים. ולכן דירשו השם, דירשו. What does it mean to request or דירשו? תחילה יש לך להיזהר שלא תעזוב את השם לצאת מביתך כלל. והוא שלא תחטא כלל. דירשו את השם בקשו פניו תמיד כל זמן שהוא נמצא אצלכם. אולם, גם אם חטאתם עד שיצא מאיתכם על ידי חטאתכם, תשתדלו לקרוא שישוב אליו בעוד היותו קרוב. So it says, first and foremost, be careful not to let God leave your house, which means don't commit any sins. Now, if you did, and God left the house, call him out. Call him back. Call him and say, come back. I repented, come back. כמו שאוהבו, יצא מאיתו בחורייו, שקורא שישוב אליו תכף, ואינו ממתין עד שיתרחק האוהב. It's like your friend. You had a disagreement with your friend. And he was very angry. He left the house. And he slammed the door. What do you do if you really like him? You run after him and you call him back. כן, אם חטאת שוב תכף בתשובה ולא תמתין עד יום אחר. If you committed a sin, repent immediately. Don't wait for tomorrow. You know why? Because if you will wait for tomorrow, it will be the next day. אולם גם אם חטאת וגם הרבית לפשוע, עד שנתרחק השם ממך מרחק רב מכל מקום. And even if you committed a sin, and you didn't repent, not today, not yesterday, not tomorrow, when you will realize that you did, call him out. So what is Dirshu? What is the understanding of Dirshu according to the Maharvim? What do we need to do? To make sure. To reach out. I will rephrase. To make sure that we are not in a stage that we cannot call out to God anymore. Now, I'll stop here because I will need to explain something. Just one second, I will explain something and then we'll open it up for questions if we have. We all know. I'll give a little teaser. I'm going to speak about it on Shabbat Tshuva, between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. I will talk about the differences between guilt and shame. And it's based on Jared Gallin. He's a psychiatrist, and Rambam and Rav Soloveitchik. We will make some comparison, which will be hopefully interesting. But one thing for sure I can say is that when we commit a sin, there are many different feelings prior to it, during it, and after. So let's try to analyze the pre, during, and post. Pre-chet, before we commit a sin, what do we need to do in order to commit a sin?
Rationalize
it. Very good. One. Second. Desire it. Desire it. To rationalize it, that's what? That it's not a chet, or that's a chet, but who cares? Two options, right? To desire it. And the desire is so strong that it takes our entire being. What else? The what?
Consequences.
To basically think that there are no consequences, or the consequences out of this chet will be beneficial for me, right? Okay. What do we need to forget when before we commit a sin? Consequences, if we know that they are bad. Basically, we need to forget God. Right? So we need to rationalize it. And then, this is, by the way, maybe even worse. If you rationalize it as a mitzvah or something like that, that's not good. But even if not, basically what you have is that you need to forget God. So that's the pre. And how do you forget God? Because you say, look, I'm more important. I have my desires, I have my wants, I have my dreams, I want to do that, and that's what I'm going to do. Okay. During the chet, what do we feel? We'll do like a group therapy here today. Do what?
Satisfaction.
Pleasures. Dream come true. I'm the big macher, right? I decided. Very good. Before post scene, but really at the end, what do you feel? You start feeling guilty. Post chet, you start feeling guilty. And you feel also ashamed. Well, as I said, we're not going to talk about it right now. But the interesting part is that most of us, after we realize we committed a sin, what exactly happened to us? Feel regretful, okay? Trying to justify or try to? Okay, embarrassed. Deny. Blame others. Very good. We have it from Adam and Chava, right? All the things that we all know for sure. Okay. After you have that guilt and shame and embarrassment and whatever feeling would you like to raise here, it can lead you to three main options. Option number one, full apathy. Apathy. Don't care. Apathy, I just don't care. Whatever, move on with your life. You know those people? We'll move on with our lives. Okay. Then you have, oh my God, what did I do? I need to do something, become very passionate about Chazara B'Tshuva. I repent, I'll do tshuva. Third, which is very difficult one, probably the best one, but the most painful one, is that depression. you fall into depression. Why? You look at yourself and you say, how could I even allow myself to do that? To throw God, God forbid, out of the window, to ignore him, to do something that I know it's meaningless. Even if there was some kind of pleasure involved, it lasted for whatever how long, but I threw my life away because of that. What did I do? This question of what did I do can lead you to two options. What did I do and there is no way back? What did I do and I am going to seek a remedy, I am going to seek a way to what? To get rid of it and to move on the right path. Basically what the Malbim says is that the best thing is obviously don't commit sins, but we're not talking about angels. When you commit sins, immediately repent, which means what? Which means tremendous retrospection and immediate retrospection. Meaning, when you do a chet, don't allow the chet to what? To sink. Immediately when you feel that rejection, jump on it. And the third is, even if you allow the sin to sink, make sure that you are not sunk with the sin. Which is very difficult. Because more time we immerse ourselves with the transgressions, tougher it becomes to do what? To get out. By the way, tshuva is basically a microscope of what? Of every other bad behavior. Think about it. Whatever we do that we know it's not good, more we do it, harder for us to what? To get out of it. Everything. That's why according to Rav Kook, for example, in Orot HaTshuva, he calls it tshuva tiv'it, a natural repentance, which is what? He said, for example, if someone was a smoker and he quit smoking, he did the tshuva. Tshuva? What does it mean, tshuva? Answer, tshuva is what? Is to change a bad behavior. Is to realize that what I do and the way of my life is not good for me. That's the idea of tshuva. So therefore, according to the Malbim, Dirshu Hashem Be'imatz'o means what? Find God while he is still what? Be'imatz'o, when he still exists in your life. Don't let it happen that God, in a way, totally departed from your life. Oh, today is so heavy, no one smiles anymore here. By the way, Ellen, you can look at that in two ways. You can look at that as God departed from my life, or I departed, I divorced, quote-unquote, God from my life. And you can see it. Now, the thing is that the same way you decided to divorce God, God never divorces you. God says, Ayes Sefer Kritut. Where is the bill of divorce I gave your mother? Never. God never gave a bill of divorce. He was mad at us. Maybe we were separated, but we were never divorced. Which means, even if you want to divorce me, you can't. And that's what basically really God said. Ad yom moto achakelo. God is waiting for us until we die. Think about it. Now, let's say you didn't do tshuva in your life, and the day before you die, let's say you know it, you do teshuva. What kind of a teshuva is it? Is what? It's a good one. You can sin after that, right? Yeah, it's the final one. But what kind of a teshuva is that? There are no desires before you die. There are no wants. There are no nothing. You know you're going to die in 2 hours and say, oh God, you know, I really love you. The idea is it's really not so much of a teshuva, but it's the realization of what? Of the change, the process of the change. And that itself is dirshu. In a way, I would say, request from yourself to find God, even in what? In the most dark places. That's a hard one, according to the Malbim. Because the easiest thing is what? Is to drift away. I don't know if you had this encounter with people, but some people will tell you, ah, chayecha, azov oti, Hashem kvar shachach mimeni. Hashem forgot all about me. Ani hayiti kol kach ra, it was so bad, there is no way he accepts me. That's not true. There are certain chataim that if you do, God is not going to really accept you with open arms. But I'll give you an example of teshuva that I'm always amazed by. It's called the teshuva of Menashe. Menashe was a king. Do you know anything about him?
Okay.
This Menashe was a very, very wicked king. His father was one of the most righteous kings, Chizkiyahu. But Menashe was his son, and he was not so righteous, saying that mildly. And he built idols and all of that. And after 22 years, so after 33 years, it depends how you read Tanakh, he was captured, and he was put in a big pot of water, and they started boiling the water. So you can understand that it was pretty warm for Menashe. And he started calling out to all the idols that he worshipped in his 22 or 33 years of being a king. And obviously, you know, they didn't answer. Then he said, look, you know what? I remember that my father spoke about this God of the Hebrews. You know what? I'll try him out. And he said, God, if you save me from this boiling water, I will believe in you, and I'll go back to my kingdom, and I will go back to you. And the Gemara says the following. Chatar lo chatira tachat kisei hakavod vekiblo. Hashem, in a way, dug a tunnel to accept Menashe and to bring him back. Because the angel said, what is it? Hey, this tshuva was not only not from the heart, it was a trial. Like, God, if you save me, great. If not, you are like all the other idols. In a way, God did not have any choices. But even that, God accepted. Even such a tshuva, such repentance, which was totally not like what the Rambam said that we need to do, God accepted. How do we know? Very good. Good question. I'll give you another story. Exactly. So first you would like to get a cold shower. That's it. B, I mean, with him, there was a miracle. He was saved. But how do we know that our teshuva was accepted? A, we were saved. B, you feel closer to God. And I will tell you something, and this is something that I think it's so hard because it's not tangible. God does not go away from us when we commit a sin. It's us. Because we don't want to be close to him. Why? Because we're embarrassed. Would you want to be around someone that you hurt? He will invite you, but you will be afraid. So that you will be embarrassed. So the idea of tshuva is, it's an interesting thing, is that find it in yourself to pull yourself up and to come closer to Hashem. Oh, one second. You have to be ready. But what will happen if I'm never ready?
That's right.
Right? I'm never ready. The answer is, even if you are not ready, start the process. I'll give you another story. I don't know if we analyze that story or not, but it's in Gemara in Avodah Zarah, in Dafid Zayin Amud Aleph. It's the story about Elazar ben Dordaya, 17a, Avodah Zarah, 17a. This Elazar ben Dordaya, the Talmud says that he was, he was a party man. Okay, he would go around and he will be with different women and he will go here and there and whatever. And then one time he heard about a woman that is far away from him and she is very expensive. He took his checkbook and he crossed the seven rivers and seven oceans and seven mountains and seven hills, whatever it was, and he met with her. They start talking and they start getting into what he paid for. Then he heficha. What is heficha? Oh, different interpretations. No. Heficha. No. I'm trying to find the nice English words for that. So give me a second. Heficha can be many things. It can be a burp. A burp. B-U-R-P, what is it? Okay. It can be that she blew some kind of wind from her hair, from her mouth, which is a very interesting thing. And he was like, what? And she said, I heard that if we are doing that, you are done. You will not be accepted at all. You will not be able to do teshuva. He was so amazed by that woman. He left her. And then he went to the nature and he asked the nature to pray for him and to do tshuva for him and whatever. He went to the mountains, to the stars, to the sky, to the moon, whatever it is. And they all told him what? You need to do it by yourself. We are afraid for ourselves. You need to do it by yourself. At the end of the day, he sat like that and he cried and he says, Eina davar talui ela bi. Everything depends on me. And he cried until he died. Which is, by the way, a horrible story for teshuva. Right? Do teshuva and you will be saved. Do teshuva and you will die. Right? Okay, so how do we understand this entire thing? So I gave a long class about this Gemara. It's a 2-hour class. We don't have 2 hours now. But the idea is this Gemara, you can look at it at home. It's Avodah Zarah 17a. It's in the middle lines. So the thing is, it's a fascinating thing. First, the word heficha. When you learn Gemara, but you have the association of Tanakh, you immediately think, when is the first time that the shoresh of lehafiach is mentioned in the Torah? Perfect. Vayipach be'apav nishmat chaim. When God placed a living soul in that in Adam HaRishon. In a way, when she eficha, when she blew that wind, she basically gave him a hint. You can recreate yourself. But you need to do one thing for that. Live in the middle of the temptation. You need to what? To quit eating this chocolate cake after the second bite. Oh, that's hard. If you like chocolate. That's the problem. You already put it on the plate. Now don't touch it. And you paid for that. You paid for that dessert. And you're going to what? Not to give it back and get your money back. You're going to donate it. I'm not sure she was willing to be donated. But the thing is that, you know, basically you need to what? To what Rav Soloveitchik likes to talk about is the idea of hakrava, of sacrifice. In order for your teshuva to be accepted, you need to give up something. And we all know, when you would change a behavior, you need to give up something. Something that it's painful to give up. You know, it's one thing to say, you know what, I'm not going to speak, I always speak Lashon Hara, you know what, for 20 seconds a day, I'm not going to speak Lashon Hara. It's nice. But don't tell me that 20 seconds is while you are asleep. Okay, that's not considered as giving up Lashon Hara. If you want to tell me that, you know, the next conversation I have with my friend, I will not have Lashon Hara for the next, whatever, 30 minutes, no, then the seder, that I can hear. But you need to have the sense of hakava. So it's painful. So you pay for it. And then you realize at the end, everything depends on me. No one else can do it for us, like no one else can change our behavior besides us. Look, for whatever it was, it was. If you believe a lot in tshuva, you believe less in tshuva, you believe the tshuva is there, but you are not sure about one thing for sure. The idea of change is the main core of tshuva. And change requires tremendous determination, retrospection, honesty, hard work. You know the Gemara.
Oh, wow. Not going to even... Okay.
Maximum. We'll do it next week. We'll continue. But the Gemara talks about something very interesting. The Gemara really talks about the idea that there's really a debate. Are you allowed, should, or prohibited for mentioning sins that you did last year but you didn't do this year? Should you mention them again? What's the idea behind it? Okay, very good. On one hand, the opinion that says no, says, die, must speak. You didn't do it this year. Matairu, mateoreru. Don't wake it up. Let it sleep. Move on. Second opinion says, no. What are you doing? We believe that we always get better. Every year we get better, hopefully. When I'm better and I didn't do it this year, I look at that sin that I did, that transgression that I created, and I look at it from a different perspective. I have a better appreciation. You know what? Maybe I realized that by me doing so, you know what? When I checked my phone while davening, and I already did teshuva, I'm not doing that anymore. But you know what? Shloim Aleh saw me doing that, and he thought, oh, if the Rav can do it, I can do it. Now, he doesn't care if someone is sick, called me, or I just got my grocery list. He saw that the rabbi looked at his phone during Shmona Esrei. Shloim Aleh is going to check the NBA results or the Liga Leumit results during Shmona Esrei. Because for him, it's very important. And I realized that only this year, because when I saw Shloim Aleh doing that, and I approached Shloim Aleh, and I said, Shloim Aleh, why are you checking your phone while Shmona Esrei? And he says to me, what do you mean? The rabbi does it. Oy vey. So now I realize that my action influenced someone that I didn't know. So I should mention it. Third opinion says you should mention it, not because of Shloim Aleh. Let's say I didn't affect anyone. But because you now understand what mistake you did. And you want to repent again and make sure that you don't do it again. So we need to live in a balance between what? Between chatati negdi tamid. What is chatati negdi tamid? That's what David HaMelech said. The sin, the transgression that I did is in front of me always, like a constant reminder, it's here. At the same time, you can't live your life with that sin in front of you all the time. It will paralyze you. You will have zero motivation. So we need to really find this balance between the two requirements. Which, welcome to tshuva. You know, many people like to say, oh, he's about tshuva. And I look at that person and say, and what you are? What are you? Oh, I'm not about tshuva. I was born from. I'm an FFB. FFB, Frum from birth. I said, okay. So you tell me that you never committed any transgressions. Yeah, I did. I said, so why you are not a Baal Tshuva? That's the idea behind it. To be a Baal Tshuva, it doesn't mean that you need to be Chiloni or Lodati or not religious and then become religious. Baal Tshuva is I'm owning a way to change my behavior. And the most difficult things to change is between men and men. Most difficult. You want to tell me that you want to change your religious daily routine and you're going to, to learn one more halakha before davening and after davening. It's not a change so much. It's what? It's an addition. But if you want to tell me, look, I'm an angry person and I'm not going to get angry anymore. Or I'm really going to minimize it. Oh, you need to work on yourself. And that's exactly the idea of tshuva. That's the idea of dirshu. You need to make sure that you don't go so low that you don't believe in yourself and you don't
find God in your life anymore. Okay, that's the Malbim. Now, at least we will do Meshech Chochmah. Rav Simcha Meir Mitvinsk, that's the fourth source on the page, said the following. וכן במלחמת היצר, and also when you fight the evil inclination, העיקר, the main point is, כי יהיה התעוררות לתשובה מהאדם, that you need to be the one to what? To initiate the תשובה. ואחרי זה, and after that, הסיוע מהשם יתברך, and only after that, God will assist you. כי ישר לפניו, because when Hashem sees that what? That you put the efforts, He will help you. וכל האנשים אשר פגע בהם, פעם, אם אינו יודע מי הם, and let's say I did something and I hurt other people that I don't even know I hurt. Hashem יתברך נותן בליבם שאם חלו לו. Hashem will inspire those people to forgive me even though I never asked them for forgiveness, and not only that, I don't even know that what? That I hurt them. וכן השם יתברך אוסר לו לעשות תשובה בכל אופן. And Hashem will help you to and assist you to do תשובה in every shape. וזה שאמר דרשו השם בהימצאו. And this is what the פסוק said, דרשו השם בהימצאו, בכל הדרישה וההתעוררות התכליתי. What does it mean, דרשו? Is requested from yourself to initiate the process. ואחרי זה יעזוב רשע דרכו וישאב אל מחשבותיו, שהשם ייתן שיעזבו דרכם ומחשבותם. Meaning, don't wait for Hashem to initiate the process for you. You need to be the one to request it from yourself. ולכן בהימצאו בעשרת ימי תשובה, אף על כי דרכי התשובה בכל פרט ופרט לעקור כל שורש רע, צריך הכנה גדולה ועמל רע והשקפה ארוכה. בכל זאת, אם ההתעוררות תהיה באמת, יעזור השם וישיג להם לבוא אל עומק התשובה. And this is something that we're going to spend a few minutes on this משך חוכמה. The משך חוכמה said the following. Let's say you want to do תשובה. To some people, stop there. I would like to do תשובה. Okay, I would like to be a billionaire. I would like to be a sage. Okay, wonderful, no? What are you going to do about it? So the Meshech Chochmah said something very interesting. He said, tshuva in a way is like on a spectrum. And you have levels. So it needs to start with whom? With you. When it starts with you and you take steps to start moving, Hashem tests it and he sees if it's real or not. Or if at least there is a potential of something real. And then you what? He helps you. Now, when I look at this Meshech, and then he helps you to what? To deepen your abilities and to really deepen your commitment to Tshuva. Now, I want to ask you a question. It's something very interesting that has tremendous ramifications, so I am going to do it, we'll try to illustrate it. As I said before, there is this line, okay? We are here. We initiated the tshuva. So we are now, well, let's say here. Okay, we did a long, that's nice, okay? We are here. Now, according to the Meshech Chochmah, he said what? That Hashem is going to what? To help us. Can you please describe to me, please, where is Hashem now on the line? On top. So he's going to what? Send a helicopter, or he's going to just to come down and meet me? Okay, one option. We will discuss that option. 1 second. Yes, second option. Okay, underneath me, pushing me up. Okay. So with me. Okay. Did you see that? Three options, and all of them are correct. It depends of how we look at tshuva. And how do we look on the results of committing a sin. If I say that when I commit a sin, God is always there. He's always with me. Even if I'm here, or if I'm here. He's always there. I just threw him. So when I start repenting and I initiated it, he helps me. He's right with me here. He was always there. Or, alternatively, if I say, that when I commit a sin, I distance myself from God. So in a way, I was with God here, and when I committed the sin, I'm here, and then I'm here, and I'm here, I'm here, I'm here. So when I'm here, God now is closer. Why? Because we have only this one. When I was here, I needed another two fingers here. Or I can say that when I, so to speak, through God, God was down waiting for me. So when I initiated it, God is what? He's pushing me up. All three options are basically depends on the what? On my perspective on ha-chet v'tot-otav v'ha-tshuva v'tot-otea, which means what? The sin and its consequences, the repentance and its consequences. I will just say one thing. That if we say that God is always here, it means what? That God was with me also where? When I committed the sin. Now, what does that mean? He didn't do it for me. He just didn't stop me. So the idea is... The what?
You have
a choice. You have a choice. It's my choice to what? To commit the sin. It's my choice to what? To repent. But to know, I don't know, for me, I find it more comforting to know that God is what? Is there with me. And you know what? I'm not a Hasidic darshan at all. But I will say that when the pasuk that I quoted, it said, Im yashuv miyad, akabel, what is miyad? Right away. But also yad is what? Hand. Hashem noten yad, Lapushim. When I tell you I'm giving you a hand, what does that mean? How do I help you? Here, I'll give you a hand. Let me pull you, right? So I'm, oh nice, I'm here, and you are here, and I'm pulling you. Also, I'll give you a hand is what? You see someone, speaking Zekva, you see someone walking with a grocery shopping, and you tell him what? Here, I'll give you a hand. Or also, when you are stuck with your car and you need someone to push you, can you give me a hand, right? It's to help. So you see the same idea. Hashem noten yad laposhim. Hashem stretches hand. It depends where you position yourself. So, this 60 minutes is one liner. Ein hadavar talui. Ella, B. Everything depends on me. Not because we are so arrogant and because we are so talented. Because we are the only one who can initiate it. I know it feels more harsh. I know I didn't promise anything, so I'm sorry. I'm not that type of rabbi of promising things that if you do this and that. I would say one thing for sure. If we do change, we will feel much better. Not also only health-wise, I'm talking about mentally, spiritually, physically, all around. The idea really of change and the proof that I was able to overcome something that I did for so long, we all, I think back to in your life about one thing that you changed. If you don't find it, maybe we should do something about it. But if you do find one thing that you change, it might be even to change your profession. You know what? It was even might be your decision to change location. Okay? To relocate. To make aliyah. That's a tremendous change. Change of life, change of mentality, change of language. And how did you feel about it? What did you do? How did it enrich your life? And what are the challenges that came up with it? And what caused you to stick with it, even though it was not so great to go to Misrad HaPnim 20,000 times for the same thing? But you are here. You didn't go back. That's the beginning. And if we keep up with it, we not only can change ourselves, we can change others. So we'll stop here. So we have three interpretations for Dirshu. We'll have the other four or five even Bezrat Hashem next week.